Paul's letter to the Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This is the word of God.
Friends, it's such a joy to be able to share with you again, and we're in Paul's letter, as you know, to the Colossians. And just for a minute, in case there's one or two visiting us here on Comrades Day, that this is a very timely letter. We couldn't wish to start anything better than Colossians. It's a book that is going to show you and I of the great truth that we have fullness and freedom in our Lord Jesus Christ. He explained who he was. He's explained a bit about the readers. And then last Sunday, we had a glimpse into what sort of people they were. What lovely Christians they were. Christians that reflected faith in Jesus. Christians that reflected a love for all the saints. And Christians who were bearing fruit. Now, you can't get any better than that, really. A child of God who's been saved is not stopping there, but evidencing those three things. And at the same time, there is the Apostle Paul. He's in prison for his faith, and while he's there, he writes this letter to them. And what you're going to see this morning is his prayer. And I want to say to you, if I may, it's one of the most moving passages in the New Testament. And what you and I do now is we listen to Paul praying. You often can see where a person's priorities lie when they pray. And we are going to listen to Paul. What did he pray for the Colossians? They are saved. They've got faith in Christ. They've got love for all the saints. They're bearing fruit all over the world. Let me take you through this prayer. For this reason, he says, since the day we heard about you, in verse 9, we have not stopped praying for you. Notice, first of all, the incentive to prayer. What was it that encouraged the Apostle Paul to pray like this? Well, for that, we need to look back to what we saw last week. For this reason. What is the reason? The fact is that they had faith in Jesus. They had love for all the saints. They had a hope in heaven. And their life was bearing fruit. Fruit, in fact, all over the world. A very lovely picture of a growing Christian. And when Paul realizes that, instead of saying, oh well, they're growing, they're maturing, let me concentrate on somebody else. No, he doesn't do that. For this reason, I never stop praying for you. So the incentive to prayer is the way that they were living. The second thing I want you to notice is the importunate prayer. He uses those words, we have not stopped praying for you. Isn't that a beautiful thing to read in the Bible this morning? We haven't stopped. What always challenges me very, very deeply is all of Paul's letters, when he writes to the Corinthians or to the Philippians or here to the Colossians or to the Thessalonians or to Philemon or to Timothy, he says exactly the same. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. So he says to these Colossians, we have not stopped. It was prayer in the life of Paul that made him the man that he was. The third thing I want you to notice, and then we're going to get to the main thing, what his requests were, was the fact that it was intercessory prayer. Those two words, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. For you. His prayers were for you. Not for himself, but for you. It was intercession. Always praying for others. And lastly, and this is the main one this morning, it was intelligent. His incentive to prayer, we've had a look at that. It was importunate prayer, we haven't stopped. It was intercessory prayer for you. But now I want you to notice, it was intelligent. What did he pray for? If I may say that to you, brothers and sisters, this morning, what can we pray for each other? Living in the days in which we live, let's listen and really be encouraged. He asks God for three things. Three beautiful, relevant requests. Number one, he prays for their wisdom. Number one, listen to what he says. We have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So number one, I ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will. What do you notice about that wisdom? Notice two things. First of all, notice the completeness of it. He says, I pray and I ask God to fill you. See the completeness? That word there means to fill out to completion. To fill out to completion. With a knowledge that is both heart transforming and life renewing. So friends, even for us here this morning, what could be more practical than that? Not speculations about God's nature or prying into divine decrees, or this is not some searching into unfulfilled prophecy. This is practical. Lord, I ask you to fill the Colossians with a knowledge of your will for their lives. What could be more practical than that? Some of you perhaps may thinking of changing your job or moving your home or going into a retirement complex or immigrating overseas to be with your children or like our people's warden. I'll never forget that vestry meeting we had where our people's warden says, I want to stand down. And I'm going to be resigning from my work and I'm going into full-time mission work. It was an amazing thing that we saw at Christchurch. You see, who should I marry? Where should I live? What should I do? How do I invest my money? Every aspect of life will come under this tremendous thought. Lord, I ask you to fill them with the knowledge of your will. But notice not only the completeness of it, look at the character of this wisdom. He says, through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. That is magnificent, friends. When it says with all spiritual wisdom, you could say that would be, Lord, help me to know what to do. And understanding would refer to and how to do it. Lord, show me what you want and how to do it. What is your plan for my life and how to do it? Please, gracious God, fill them with the knowledge of your will, with all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Let's have a look at number two. The second thing that he asks is for their walk. Their first request is for their wisdom. Now let's have a look in verse 10 about their walk or their lifestyle. And see, that little word, don't just read too quickly over it. Every word is inspired. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. Wow, friends. That is amazing. That should be a prayer that you and I pray every single day of our lives. Lord, I'm asking you, not just for wisdom to know your will, but Lord, I'm asking you that I may live a life that is worthy of the Lord. Notice four things about that walk quickly. Notice, first of all, the standard. What is the standard? Live a life worthy of the Lord. That's the standard. So I'm driving my motor car, and a taxi shoots in front of me. I want to live in a way that is worthy of the Lord. You see, every area of life, having a round of golf and I miss a putt of only a couple of centimeters, I want to react in a nice way. That is worthy of the Lord. At home, I want to love my wife and my kids or my husband and our grandchildren. I want to treat the people who work in my home, clean my home perhaps, and spark up the garden. I want to live worthy of the Lord. That is the desire. Whether you're at home, at work, at play, it doesn't matter. What Paul is praying here, Lord, I pray for these Colossians. Their lifestyle, their words, their thoughts, their actions may be worthy of the Lord. Secondly, look at the desire. What is the desire? And may please him in every way. Here's the second thing. Doesn't matter what other people are doing. Doesn't matter how other people are reacting. That's not the passion. The passion, the desire is that we may please him. So the standard is that I may live a life worthy of God with the desire when I wake up in the morning to go for the rest of the day and so live and speak and act that the Lord Jesus Christ is pleased. Thirdly, look at the evidence. Bearing fruit in every good work. That's it, friends. The evidence is going to bear fruit. If I may say it with love, I hope. If there is no fruit, there's no grace. If there's no fruit, there's no conversion. That's what you've got to say. That's what Paul is praying here. Oh God, my prayer for these Colossian Christians is for their life, their lifestyle, their walk, that it will be, there'll be evidence. People will see it. People will watch it. There'll be evidence. And finally, about the walk, point four, what is the effect? Growing in the knowledge of God. I'll always be very grateful to May and the ladies of the Lord who gave me a very kind book voucher. And I went to our bookshop and I got myself a book called The Doctrine of God. It's about 800 or 900 pages. And I read slowly, a few pages every day. I say, dear God, I want to grow in my knowledge of God above everything else. You see, there's the request of Paul. Growth. Constant, continual growth taking place all the time. And this word knowledge is not just dry, barren intellectual knowledge. It brings out an intense, personal, experiential awareness to which more can be added all the time. I pray for that. That's what I want for you, Colossians. I pray that you'll know God's wisdom. Before you do anything in life, you'll be able to say, you know, that's God's will for my life. That's all that counts. And I pray for their walk. I pray that it'll be worthy of the Lord, with a desire to please him, where there'll be evidence to the world of fruit, and with this incredible effect. Now, if you come to Ladies for the Lord, there's a lady who sells picture frames. And I buy picture frames. I've got hundreds. My office is like a museum. I've got hundreds of pictures. I love pictures of my family and my trips. But you know what? I've got one little picture frame that Marion very kindly sold me last week. It's two picture frames. And in the left side is a picture of a little baby that is 12 weeks old. Still growing. In the right-hand side is a picture of another little baby, also 12 years old. These are the twins that my eldest son is going to bring into the world through his wife. No, she's just 3 months along the road, got another 6 months to go, and then hopefully they'll be born safe and well. But I look at these things and I say, there's the head. Now, I'm not a gynecologist, and I can see there's the toes. And I love it, eh? It's the most fantastic picture I think I've ever seen. There's baby one and baby two. I call them Mutt and Jeff. But I don't know what they'll be. But you see, I hope if ever Sarah goes for another scan when she's 6 months down the road, oh, I hope they send me another one. And I hope there's growth. And I see the baby's growing. In 9 months, I hope they come into this world safe and well. And they're growing. And one day when we go and visit them, it's growth. Wouldn't it be a tragic thing if they stopped growing? Wouldn't that be horrible? There'd be something wrong, probably death. And you know, I applied it to my own life and I thought, you know, there are many Christians like that. There's no growth. They're the same today as they were a year ago. Perhaps the same they are 5 years ago. If they're really honest before a holy God, they say, I haven't grown. I'm still the same. Please, don't let that ever happen. Paul is praying. Lord, I want these people to grow in their knowledge of God. All right, then just lastly, and then we're on our way. What's number three? He prays for their wisdom. He prays for their walk. And now in verse 11, he prays for their warfare or for strength. See verse 11? Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you will have great endurance and patience. Do you know what, brothers and sisters? The Christian life is not easy. Today's the day of the Comrades Marathon. It's the most wonderful, wonderful, wonderful example of the Christian life. It's a long haul. Some of you have run this thing. It's a long, long journey. You start at Hoppers 5 in Durban, you run up Cowies Hill and you're finished. Then you hit Bothas Hill and you're half dead. Then you go up Winchunga and you're just about ready for heaven. And you haven't even hit halfway yet. You see, it's a long road. That's the same with the Christian's life. When you are born again, you come into a brand new life. And there are ups and there's some downs. What do we need? We need strength. So Paul says, I pray for your wisdom. I pray for your walk. And I pray for strength for you to keep going. What's the source of that strength? Point one, Paul uses that lovely phrase, being strengthened. Being strengthened. Strength is not gained in a once-for-all crisis experience. It's a lifelong process. And every day, like this morning, on a chilly morning, it's beautiful to get out of bed early. And you get your strength for today in reading the Bible. But your old nature said, stay in bed. Isn't that the battle that you had this morning? I'd like to know which side won. But I won't be naughty. But you see, that's the strength. Sorry, can I be a bit silly for a second? When I used to run the Comrades Marathon, I had some fantastic gels. They were called Vuma. That was the name. So I was useless. So I see this yellow in front of me. I say, there's no way I'm going to make it. So what do? I get into my little packet here and I pull out a Vuma and I have this Vuma and I fire up to the top of the hill. Gave me strength. But then when I went down, I lost it. I had to take another one. You see, friends, I need strength. Keep running for Jesus. I need strength. Number two, what's the sphere of strength? He says, strengthened with all power. The root applies the ability, the power, and the innate strength that I need to live a life honoring to the Lord Jesus Christ. Thirdly, what's the standard? According to his glorious might. It doesn't say, I pray that God will strengthen you out of his riches. No, 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 no. It's according. The source is that God will strengthen you. The sphere with all power. The standard according. According to his glorious might. And what's the goal? So that you may have great endurance and perseverance. That's the purpose, brothers and sisters. So when the tough times come, and they are going to come to all of us, we don't crumble. We don't give up. We don't give in. We don't become depressed and discouraged. No! Paul is praying this unbelievable prayer that you will have strength to keep on enduring, and number two, with great patience. It's the most beautiful prayer. It was such an enormous help to me when I was preparing this for you. When we pray for one another, what do we pray for? Pray for wisdom. Pray for our walk. Pray for strength. That we may live a life that is worthy of the Lord. That we may please Him. And keep on keeping on. Keep persevering. Don't stop. Don't become tired. Live a life for God's glory. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for this amazing passage that we've been able to study this morning together as a family. And we just know that what you prayed for those Colossians all those years ago is so relevant for us today. If there perhaps be somebody here and they look over their Christian life and there's been no growth for ages, still where they are today that they were last year, be no maturity, no blessing, no growing in our knowledge of God. Oh Lord, may today be the turning point when we grow in our knowledge of the Lord, where we bear fruit in every good way, strengthened with all power to run with perseverance. Please hear our prayer in the precious and wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.